to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's his new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Sing the story. A sinner
has come home,
for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh,
yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
And the white robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. A new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven. Sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to
Thank you, men. What a blessing. Psalm number 54. Tonight, we're looking at relief for the righteous. Psalm number 54, David is praying for relief, and Psalm number 55, he's feeling kind of down, discouraged, down in the dumps, and he prays a prayer of the righteous. And so combining those two, we come out tonight with relief for the righteous. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll give you a little bit of background to Psalm number 54. Father, we thank you that our names have been written in the book of life. Lord, what a great truth that is, especially in light of what we've been seeing in the book of Revelation on Sunday mornings. Lord, we thank you not just what you have saved us from, but what you have saved us to. And not just what you saved us to in the future in heaven, but Lord, in this life here, the joys that we have in knowing you, even in the midst of trials and times of discouragement and defeat, you give us victory and you give us joy as we sang the chorus, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." And Lord, we thank you that we're able to walk with you, with the King of Kings, in Christ's name, amen. If you look at the subtitle of Psalm number 54, it says, "To the chief musician on Neganoth, Mashiel, a psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us?" And so to get an understanding of this psalm, it's a very short psalm, let's look at some verses in 1 Samuel. And I have them up here. You can turn to your Bible if you'd like to 1 Samuel 23. Or you can see them up here. Hopefully they'll be big enough. You'll remember the story as we read through it. "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. What a friend Jonathan was to David. In verse 17, and he said to him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next to thee, and that also Saul, my father, knows." And so Saul obviously was after David because he knew that his kingdom was in jeopardy and he was going to lose it there. And so David is running from Saul, and he and Jonathan meet up together and renew their friendship. Verse 18, and they made a covenant before the Lord, and David, he stayed there in that wood, and Jonathan went to his house. And we continue in the next few verses. And then came the Ziphites to Saul. And this is where we read about them in Psalm 54. And they said, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hachilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king," and these are the Ziphites speaking, "come down according to all the desire of thy soul, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. We will give David to you there. And Saul said, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, for you have compassion on me." Notice how King Saul talks the talk of a Christian. "Blessed be ye of the Lord." You know, there are a lot of people that talk the talk, but we know from reading the Bible about Saul, he's not walking the walk, is he? He is out to kill a man after God's own heart. And so you have to be careful when you hear people talk the talk. That's why it's so important for us that the things that we say go hand in hand with the way that we live, and people see that consistency there. It wasn't with Saul and these Ziphites. They were conniving together against David. "Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know and see his place where his haunt is," that is, where he hides out, "and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he deals very subtly." Boy, pot calling the kettle black, you know, as they say. David's not the one who's dealing in subtlety, it's Saul. "See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides himself, and come again to me with the certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, I will search him out through all the thousands of Judah." And that's in chapter 23. And go over to chapter 26 for, I think, two more verses. The first two verses of chapter 26. "And the Ziphites came to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose, and he went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men with him to seek David." And here's David running for his life, and here's the king of Israel with 3,000 men coming after David, and he's hiding out for his life, and he knows he hasn't done anything. He's even pleaded with God, "God, if I have done anything, you go ahead and take my life from me." And so we come to his prayer for relief. While he's hiding out and Saul and his 3,000 men are after him, he says in verse 1, "Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength." And as we look at this prayer, we're going to see seven things in this prayer. We see salvation and sentencing in verse 1. David says, "Lord, deliver me." Here are 3,000 of his chosen soldiers and the king himself. And David knew that he could not defeat them by himself. He knew that if he were going to be delivered, it would have to be God who does it. And we know if we're going to be delivered from sin, it has to be God who does it, because we're not able to do that. And David has said many times before, as he does here, "Judge me. Lord, if I have done evil in your sight, if it's time for Saul and his men to kill me, then God, you go ahead and do the judging." He wasn't afraid to die there. We know that from whenever he went up against Goliath. He was prepared if that's what it would have brought, but he trusted God. and God does the sentencing here. Verse 2, we see his supplication. He says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." And here he is. He's hiding out. What else is he going to do? He can't go to fight him. He can't take the sling like he did with Goliath and put 3,000 stones in his bag. I think he wouldn't have been able to move had he tried to do that. And so he prays to God. David did that often, didn't he? Probably comparing our prayer lives, at least I can speak for me personally, to what I read in the book of Psalms. My prayer life compared up to David's just doesn't compare at all. And verse 3, he says, "Strangers are risen up against me." And these strangers he talks about are the Ziphites there. Because here they have gone in with King Saul and they have given away the hiding place of David. And he says, these strangers, they're not Israelites. They've risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. And they have not set God before them. They're not doing this because they want to do what's right before God. They just want to get me. And sometimes you might feel that way, that you're being attacked and people are after you and they're not doing it for the Lord's honor. They're doing it, even strangers who don't even know you, maybe because Saul had offered to do something for them. But David also had, in verse 4, he had some supporters. He says, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." And as I was studying this and I looked at that verse, I said, what a blessing that is. David is recognizing that his help comes from the Lord. I look to the Lord. I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. But God has chosen to use people to encourage and minister to David. And he's thanking God for God's help, but he recognizes that God uses others to uphold him. And I am thankful for that verse because I know many of you have told me how you pray for me and you uphold me with your prayers. And that's what people were doing for David as well. And that's what my dad does. He tells me every morning he's praying for me and he's a help and a supporter to my soul. Then we see in verse 5, God has standards and his standard is that of truth. It says, "He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth." And when God gives out rewards, he has a standard by which he does that. When God judges those that oppose him and oppress God's people, God has a standard by which he judges them, and that standard is truth. And this is our standard, the Word of God. Whenever we want to know anything, the Bible's not a science book. When it speaks about science, it's right. When the Bible speaks about how to bring up children and train them to serve the Lord, this is a training manual for families. God's Word is the standard by which we build our lives there. And it's the standard by which he judges the believers and the unbelievers. And then we come to the last two verses of Psalm number 54, and we see David's sacrifice. And notice he says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee." And so David is coming to the Lord and he realizes that God is worthy of his praise and his sacrifice. And two aspects to his sacrifice that we see here. He says, "I will sacrifice, I will praise thy name, for it is good. I will praise thy name, O Lord." And the Bible in the New Testament, we read oftentimes where it says we're to do this for his name's sake. And that's what David is saying. God, I'm going to bring willingly a sacrifice to you because of who you are, your character. But not just for his character and his name and who he is. The next verse, 7, says, "For he hath delivered me out of all trouble. And mine eye had seen his desire upon mine enemies. And so also David says for God's character and also for his care. That is who God is and what he does for me. And that's what we do when we come to worship, isn't it? We thank God for who he is and for what he does. And he constantly gives care. He constantly gives relief. And David is delivered here as he has prayed to God. Now we come to Psalm number 55. And we see David as a righteous man, and it is a prayer of the righteous. And notice in the subtitle here, to the chief musician on Negamoth Mashiel, a psalm of David. I was interested in that word. I wasn't too familiar with this word, Negamoth, there. And if you look at Habakkuk 3:19, this Hebrew word shows up. And it's translated stringed instruments. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on Negamoth. There, stringed instruments. And so this word has to do with music, but also it's oftentimes used with music when someone is not really singing music in a joyful way. Look at these three verses here. Often that word is used in a song of ridicule. Job, and now I am their song. That's the Hebrew word, Negamoth. Yea, I am their byword. They're making fun of me in songs. Psalm 69:12. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of drunkards. Lamentation 3:14. I was a derision to all my people, and their song. All the day they were making fun of me, and I was a byword to them. And so David comes in this psalm, and we see him, though he's a righteous man, he's kind of discouraged here. And that's something we all face from time to time, don't we? Discouragement. How do we deal with it? Why is he discouraged? Well, we see a couple of things about discouragement in the first two verses. He says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and don't hide from my supplication. God, don't you hide from me. It seems like everybody else has. I'm all alone, God. And so if you're going to hide from me, what am I going to do? He had already dealt with Saul and all of the enemies there, and he's just feeling so all alone. And he's praying to God that he would hear him. But then in verse 2, he begins to cry. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. He is just crying out to God, making a noise in his lamentation as he cries to the Lord. You remember the song? You've probably heard it. It's been a long time since I heard it. Tears are a language that God understands. And God understands the tears. And here is David just going before God, feeling discouraged, feeling all alone there. And people are making fun of him and he's making songs to ridicule him there. And David goes to the Lord there. Now we come to verse 3. David's still feeling pretty down. He says, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. They're singing these songs against him, and he's feeling in despair as well. There's a lot of hostility going on towards David there. It seems like all the world's against me, David is saying here. And sometimes Satan will put those thoughts in our mind too, won't he? Elijah dealt with that, you know, like there's nobody else serving the Lord but me. You know, and David is starting to feel this way. He needs some encouragement because he's discouraged and he's in despair. And then verses 4 and 5, it even starts to get worse. He says, my heart is sore pain within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed overwhelm me. And so his heart is just aching and pounding, and the chest pains are there. Have you ever had that? You're just worried in your chest, and you're wondering if you're going to have a heart attack, and things are so bad, and you're feeling so down. That's David here. He's a righteous man. But yet he's going through these feelings, and the Lord is pleased to share these with us. Then David's desire. He knows what he wants to do. And you know the verse 6. He wants to fly away. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. If I could just get out of this place and avoid all these troubles and all this hostility and all these people who want to kill me and all these feelings of loneliness and discouragement. If I could just get some wings like a dove, I would hit to the air and I'd be gone." That's not what God had for him at that point in time. Not only does he desire to fly away, look at verse 7. "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." David says, if I can't take on wings like an eagle, I'll just cross the land. I'll just flee away, and I'll just go off to the wilderness, and I'll just get away from everything. Whenever we're feeling this way, getting away is really not the answer, is it? It's getting to the Lord. And that's what David is doing here as he prays. But David says, if I can't take on wings and fly away, if I can't go by land and flee away, he says, I'll go by water and float away. Look at verse 8. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." You know, I'll just get on a boat and just go across the water, just get away from everything and everyone and all these problems. And life is just getting pretty bad for David, and he's feeling pretty down. I think of the song that says, "Where could I go but to the Lord?" And that's what David is doing. And at the end, we're going to see it pays off. He gets the answer to the problems. Remember what the Lord said to Peter? He said, "Peter, are you going to leave also?" And what did Peter say? "Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life there." But David not only has a desire, he has a dilemma. And all around him, he sees evil, abounding folly. Seven things in the next several verses, from verses 9 to 15. Look at these seven words, beginning at verse 9, as I read them. "Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence." There's the first word. That is cruel damage and injustice. A few weeks ago, my wife and Kelly and I, we were just riding around looking through some dealerships at some cars. No, I'm not getting ready to trade my truck. I wouldn't do that. Kelly might eventually. She's only had hers about 15 years. So we were looking around, and we went through one dealership, and it just made my heart ache, and it wasn't even my cars. Somebody had gone through in one of the car dealerships down Broad Street and had keyed just about every car, brand new car, just all over them. That's just violence, isn't it? And damage, and that's what this is talking about here. The next word in verse 9 is strife. This is a word that means quarreling. Such a quarrel attitude, fighting attitude. There's hostility, giving the cold shoulder, you know, not speaking to someone. You know, and all of those things, that's the word strife. The next one is in verse 10, the word mischief. That word means emptiness or vanity. That means all around him there are people doing things that there's no good that comes out of it at all. It's just empty. The word is mischief in verse 10. Also in verse 10, there's another word with all of this folly going on, and that's the word sorrow. And this is a word that means trouble or hardships that come from labor. Normally, whenever we labor, we hope to have a good product that is a result of all the labor. But it's bad when there's labor and labor and labor and you are fatigued and just worn out and you don't see any good results from the efforts that you put into it. That's the kind of sorrow that's here. Verse 11, it says, "Wickedness is in the midst thereof. The word wickedness means destruction and calamity and devastation all around him. David is seeing all of these things, even deceit in verse 11, oppression, anxiety, just feeling weighed down with all of these things around him. And then in verse 11, there's guile. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. And that word means fraud, deceit and guile. Think about Jacob when he stole Esau's birthright. It was through guile. This is the word that's used. And so David looks around and he sees his life and he sees what people are trying to do to him and he sees the wickedness all around him. And what's he going to do? He's feeling so discouraged. This world is just gone to pot. It's gone to the devil. And that's what David sees when he looks around. And it even gets worse. Verse 12. He says, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. David says, if it would have been one of my friends, or an enemy, rather, then I could have hid from him. And so we're calling this an abusive friend. And the reason that the friendship is broken, he says, he magnified himself against me. Selfishness is a terrible sin, isn't it? You know, it doesn't usually get the preaching that some of the other sins get, but selfishness has divided a lot of friendships. And here is David, and we see some messianic prophecy in this as it relates to Christ and Judas betraying him as well. But David, as he thinks about Saul, who was king after him, he says, but it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. That just made it worse. You expect to be attacked from your enemies, but you don't expect to be attacked from your friends. And to fit my alliteration, I call the next one a church member. Not that I had anybody in mind, but notice what David says. We took sweet counsel together. We walked to the house of God in company. He says, if it had been an enemy, I could have handled that, but it's somebody that we used to fellowship together. We took counsel together. We worshiped together. We went to God's house. We prayed together. And somebody has hurt me. And David says, I'm having a hard time dealing with this kind of hurt. I could deal with the hurt and discouragement if it was from somebody that wasn't even saved. But it was somebody that was an acquaintance, mine equal, my friend. And so David has a dilemma. What do I do? How do I deal with this kind of discouragement and defeat? Well, we see the last thing, David's deliverance in the last several verses. He does this through prayer. He says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. David had confidence in prayer, that prayer does make a difference. We can pray. Now, sometimes God doesn't remove the problems and even the people from us according to our time frame that we want him to, but David was confident that God would hear and God would answer. Then we see in verse 17, we see more prayer, perpetual prayer. David didn't just bring it to the Lord one time, write it in his agenda, and put it over to the side. He says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And David said, I'm not just going to take it to the Lord and leave it there, but I'm going to take it to the Lord over and over and over every morning, every evening, every day at noon. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to tell him about the problems. I'm going to tell him about the people. I'm going to tell him about all the wickedness that's abounding all around me. I'm going to give it to the Lord. And I'm not going to let it weigh me down. It's not going to cause me to be discouraged and depressed and full of heartache and chest pains and all of that. The Lord can handle it. When David does that, notice what comes next in verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace. Peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He was feeling all alone, but now as he prays, he's realizing that I'm really not alone. There are a lot of people with me, and God gives peace even through times of discouragement and defeat and feeling like we're all alone. God's peace is there through it all, is a song you probably heard. We've had many tears and trials, but through it all, God is faithful. He gives peace. 19 through 21, we see David's deliverance involve punishment as well. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. And so David said, these people that are afflicting me are trying to destroy me. He says, God's going to take care of them. I don't have to have vengeance and do it myself. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He says, they don't seem to change. They just keep on doing the same things that they're doing. But God's going to take care of them. Verse 20, he hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And here are these words that were being spoken, some songs that were being sung, but songs of ridicule there, just piercing into David and hurting his feelings so much, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. And he goes to the Lord, and he realizes that the Lord's going to take care of them and give me peace. And then the last two verses, we see what the Lord does for us whenever he delivers us. He does it with permanence there. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, morning, noon, and night, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's the permanence, will not be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. They're not going to live out half their days, but God's going to give me fullness of days. He's going to give me life. He's going to give me peace. I will trust in thee. That was the message of the song this morning that Miriam sang, wasn't it? Trust him. I will trust in thee. And that's what David did when he realized that he had been betrayed by a friend and all this was weighing down upon him. He says, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to pray all day about it, and God's going to take care of my need, and I will trust him, and he'll give me peace. Wonderful peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, David was a man just like we are, humans. Lord, we often have these same kinds of feelings that David had. Lord, we don't know the answers and we're searching, and yet David finds comfort and peace and he finds answers as he goes to you in prayer. Lord, teach us to trust you more. Teach us to wait on you as we pray continually and asking for your help and strength. We thank you for the supporters that you give to us, those that hold up our arms, those that hold us up in prayer, those that give encouraging words. We thank you for those. Lord, there are others who will try to discourage and defeat us. And Lord, help us not to focus on that, but Lord, that we will see your hand at work as you work in and through your people. And we thank you for those that encourage us in the Lord. In Christ's name, amen.